Hallelujah. Yes. Noah, there we go. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for what you have in store for us today. It is amazing. Your word is alive. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, verse 17. I'm going to be sharing with you some things today and in the weeks to come, the next probably 2 weeks, on identity, who you are, what God has made you to be. As I was praying a little bit over a week ago, I heard these words in my spirit, man, and that is, you were made. You were made. And I immediately understood what the Lord was saying. He wants me to emphasize this message of how you were made. And that word made is a very, very important word for us, because what I want you to know is that you were made a certain way. And I want you to really lay hold of that truth, that you were made. Somebody say, I've been made. Say it one more time. I've been made. Praise the Lord. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We may have boldness in the day of judgment. You may have heard me share this before, but this is my story. I didn't always have boldness, you know, in thinking about the day of judgment. I learned a lot about the day of judgment growing up as a Christian. I learned about the fact that one day you will be judged, and it is a real thing. I know we don't like the word judged because it seems so judgmental, right? Don't judge me. Don't criticize me. Don't say anything wrong about me. I only want to hear good things. I only want to hear how wonderful I am. I want you to affirm every decision I make. I want you to celebrate everything I do. I don't want you to warn me and say this is wrong, because if you do that, then you're judging me, right? And that's sort of the culture that we live in now, that you have to affirm everything lest you become judgmental. So judgmental, or being judged, doesn't feel good naturally, right? But it's a strange scripture that we read here, because it says we can have boldness in that day. In other words, you don't have to be afraid of being judged, which is odd, because when you hear being judged, you think that you're going to be judged negatively, but you can be judged positively. And notice, no one says, don't judge me, when you pay them a compliment. No one says, man, you are an awesome writer. They says, well, don't judge me that way. You know, so no one has a problem being judged. They don't want to be judged negatively, right? That's the reality. And so I grew up fearing that I was going to be judged negatively, that I was going to die one day, as we all were, will. I will see the Lord, and the Lord will be shaking his head at me, saying, you can't come in because you've done this wrong and you've done that wrong, and this is wrong with you, and you're not like me. And I'm sorry you didn't make it in. And I feared this because of the way I was brought up to think, that my standing with God was based on what I do, right? Now, what you do is important. I'm not here to say God doesn't care about how you live your life. He does. Let's be very clear about that. He does care. And there are consequences for how we live. Let's be clear about that too. But when it comes to your standing with the Lord, how God sees you, how God receives you, that is not based on your lifestyle, how you live. Did you do this wrong? Did you do that right? Did you dot all the I's, cross all the T's? That's simply based on your truly acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you putting your faith in Him and what He has done and how He has made you. You see, you are already made a certain way. You are already made a certain way inwardly when you've accepted Christ. The whole walk of faith is to cause what you are on the inside to transform how you live on the outside. And so this is why you'll see Paul speak to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church had some crazy things going on. I mean, there was a guy, you'll see in the book of Corinthians, who was sleeping with his father's wife. And here's the thing, the church was all aware of it, and they were okay with it. And Paul had to rebuke them and say, you should be ashamed for allowing this to continue. But here's the thing. You know what he did? He still called those people saints of the Most High God. They were still considered saints. How could a man in a church be celebrating this kind of a relationship and yet Paul opens up the book by calling them saints? Paul had an understanding that who you are is not based on what you do. It's based on what has been done for you. You've been made. You've been made. You see, we can be charged to live a certain way because we've been made. See, if you haven't been changed, then you cannot help but to live a certain way. But by virtue of the fact that you have the Holy Spirit in you, by virtue of that you've been changed, by virtue of that you've been made, now you can be charged to let your conduct reflect that which has happened in you. You've been changed on the inside. And so here we see it says that you may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As God is. What is God? Give me some attributes of the Lord. Perfect. Bold. Peace. What else? Love. Okay. Alpha, Omega. Now, these are some powerful things. Righteous. Now, don't throw stones at me when I say this. But this is what the Apostle John was saying. As he is, so are you. Who God is in essence, so are you. That's why you can have boldness. You can have boldness because when you're going to be judged, you're going to be judged by someone that's just like you. It's amazing when you think about that. See, the reason why people are afraid of the Lord is because they see the Lord as the Lord, of course, and we're something completely different. But the Lord says, no, you can have boldness in that day. I've changed you. I've made you like me. So I want to ask you a question here. If you can be bold in judgment, certainly, isn't it true that you could be bold in the day of grace? So here's the question for you. What circumstances right now require you to be bold? I want you to think about that. I'm talking to you very calmly because I want you to think about this. What circumstances right now require you to be bold? Here's what's going to help you. I want you to think about what we just read. If I can be bold in the day of judgment, certainly I can be bold in having a conversation with someone I've been avoiding. If I can be bold in the day of judgment, certainly I can be bold in starting this business that the Lord called me to start. What helps you to be bold? 1 John 4:17. Keeping in mind, wait a minute, I can be bold in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, the thing that will decide my eternal resting place, I can have boldness on that day. Think about that. Then ask yourself, what present circumstances require me to be bold? When you feel afraid, when you feel like you cannot be bold, when you feel like you cannot be yourself. Some of you, this is what I felt the Lord wanted me to really hit on here. You cover your personality, and you don't allow your personality to shine. You're not bold. You're not bold. And the reason why, you've lost sight of who God has made you to be. So I want you to think about this again. If I can be bold in the day of judgment, if I can be bold before the Alpha and the Omega, the one who will judge my soul, what present circumstances require me to be bold right now? Let that reality sink in. I want to release you. This is your week of boldness in the name of Jesus. This is your week of boldness. Go forward boldly. Why? You're declaring this. If God can allow me to come boldly before him, certainly there is no other circumstance, unless that circumstance is greater than God, there is no other circumstance that should hinder me from releasing the boldness that's in me. Somebody say, I'm bold. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Let me read the scripture to you. It says, the fear of man, the fear of what? Some of you are afraid of people. I'm going to give you a list of things to think about. Because some people say, I'm not afraid of no one. I ain't afraid of no one. I let people know what's on my mind. We relegate fear to like little things, but fear of people is very deceptive. Sometimes the most outlandish and loud person is the most fearful. They're trying to overcompensate and hide that they're afraid of something. But here's what the scripture says. The fear of man brings a snare. If you're afraid of people, you're going to constantly be in a snare, in a trap. You're going to constantly be bound. And there's a lot of people who are bound today. They're in a snare. They're trapped. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Here's some examples of the fear of man. I got this from a source that I just ran across this week on gospelrelevance.com. And this is interesting. One, we call it peer pressure. But you know what we should call it? The fear of man. How about if you raise your teenagers, your adolescents, to understand, not even five-year-olds, they experience peer pressure, right? Six-year-olds, they experience peer pressure. What if we turn and change that term to say the fear of man? Because that's what it is. You're afraid of not being included. You're afraid of not being accepted. You're afraid of not being liked. You're afraid of men talking about you, teasing you. It's the fear of man. What if we taught our five-year-olds, if you are afraid of people, you're going to be in a trap. You're going to constantly be bound in life. And you teach it on their level. We'll be raising a generation of bold children. Bold children. Your children shall be bold in Jesus' name. Number two. This is good. Easily and over commit to things. I threw that word easily in, but the original source says you overcommit, but you easily and you overcommit to things. You're afraid of letting people down, afraid of disappointing people, afraid of people feeling like you rejected them and you hurt them. I don't want to hurt you. So yes, no, you're afraid of man. It'll bring a snare and you cannot live boldly. You cannot live the way God has created you to live if you're afraid of man. Amen. Third, second guessing yourself because of what others may think. Isn't that interesting? Four, do you get easily embarrassed? And sometimes you get that from your parents. Maybe you're out with your parents and you're talking loud, you know, because you're laughing. Your parents give you that look, shh. People are looking at us. You know what that does? That produces this heightened awareness that people are looking. Be on your best behavior. People are looking. Think about that. Easily embarrassed. Do you avoid people? These are questions I want you to think about because the Bible says these things will bring a snare. And they will cause you to hide who you are and hide your personality. You cannot live the bold life that God has called you to live, that he has made you to live, if you're constantly aware and thinking about what people are thinking about. Amen. Oh, this is a big one here. Number six, you diet for the praise of people. Woo. Now, I just want to look my best self. What's your best self? What is your best self? Do you really know what your best self is? Right? Think about that. When you're getting dressed in the morning, are you thinking about who's going to say what when they see you, how you're dressed? Oh, they're going to like this. Oh, they're going, oh, they, I can't believe no one said anything about this. Constantly thinking about what people are thinking about. It brings a snare. It causes gaps and holes in your life that leave you empty, looking for validation and praise from people. It stops today because you could be bold in the day of judgment. You shouldn't be overly concerned with what other people are thinking about in the day of grace. Oh my goodness. Boldness starts with the firm understanding of who you are in Christ. I'm gonna just talk for a couple of minutes. I'm gonna really pick up on this next week, but I just wanna end here. Boldness begins with a firm understanding of who you are in Christ. The reason why identity is so important is because when you know who you are in Christ, you are released to be bold. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, looking at verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us. Someone say, I've been chosen. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Something the Lord showed me a while ago. When I chose you, I didn't choose you based on your abilities, based on what I thought you could do for me. You know, if you played team sports in the schoolyard, right, basketball, football, whatever it is, and you could be on a schoolyard and no one knows you, right? But they'll size you up. They'll see, okay, this guy's tall. He could play. I got him, right? And then if you're kind of like scrawny and, you know, nah, I don't, and people are looking around, okay, I got, and it could be, and people are making judgments on who they want on their team based on how the person looks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, some guys know what I'm talking about. You know you were the last person picked. You're trying to act like you wasn't. And it was the most embarrassing moment. And people are picking their teams. I want this person. I want that person. Oh, this person looks this way. Oh, this person has this kind of physique. Oh, this person's short. Nah. This person's tall. Yeah. Oh, this person looks like this person's fast. I want this person. This person looks slow. Nah. God didn't choose you based on any of that. That's amazing. He didn't look at you and say, oh, this person looks good. No, you only look good because I make you look good. There's nothing that you can add in and of yourself. Anything that is good is because I've made it that way. You understand that? I've made you. I've made you. You didn't make yourself. I've made you. You've been made by me. Everything good, everything that is perfect comes from me. I made you that way. And that's why I can choose you from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Here's what I really want to get to, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, accepted in the beloved. He made us what? Now, maybe you've heard this statement. People say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Ever heard that before? Everyone got those parents that when they pick up the phone, they have a greeting, you know? They, like, praise the Lord, you know? Anybody have that, those kind of parents? So I remember there was a season where that was the greeting. I'm blessed and highly favored, you know? I grew up really churchy, you know? Anybody grew up with the family radio playing in the background? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. Family radio. So blessed and highly favored is a term that comes from this word accepted. This is the only time this word accepted, as it's translated in the Greek, is translated blessed and highly favored. Actually, there's only one other time, and that is what was spoken over Mary. When the angel appeared to Mary and said, "You have found favor with the Lord. You have found grace with God. You've been accepted before the Lord." It was a declaration that you are highly favored. So, why am I saying all this? The key to walking in boldness is to understand that you've been made highly favored. Not a little bit of favor, but highly favored. You've been accepted. You've been included. You've been received by God. Let me tell you, let this really sink into your heart, because if it does, you won't fear rejection. Too many people are fearing rejection. You know why they're fearing rejection? It's because they haven't come to this revelation that I'm highly favored, highly received. Rejection is not a part of my story. Say it this way. Your rejection of me doesn't make me rejected. Your not seeing my value doesn't devalue my value. Your overlooking me doesn't make me not seen. My identity is not based on you. It's based on who God made me to be. How has he made me to be? Highly favored. He has accepted me in the beloved. Come on, you're accepted today. That gives you boldness. That gives you boldness to know I will go after whatever God puts before me. And even if man rejects me, it doesn't mean I'm rejected. It means it wasn't for me. But what's for me is coming towards me. Come on, I want you to know what's for you is coming towards you. But don't block it. Don't rule yourself out by counting yourself rejected. You're not rejected. That's why I love the fact that the scripture says, even if your mother, even if your father has forsaken you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That means the people that you think would be the last, even if that happens, you'll still have a God that will never leave you, never forsake you. You're not rejected today. You're highly accepted. You're highly favored by God. Do you believe that? You've been made highly accepted. I just feel to, as I tie up here, I want to speak to those who you know you've hidden yourself. You've not allowed the glory of God that's in you to truly be revealed. You find yourself lowering yourself because you don't want other people to think you have a big head. And you don't admit the truths of who you are. You dumb yourself down. You hide yourself. You don't want to seem too churchy, too holy. You don't want to seem too Christian, too smart, too beautiful. You sort of kind of, you know, make yourself less than what you know you truly are. I feel like the Lord wants me to speak to you today and tell you, stop. Stop lowering yourself to something I have not made you to be. I feel the Lord wants me to tell you, let your personality shine. Let your personality shine. Reveal who I've made you to be. It is okay. It is okay to be who you are. It is okay to know what you know. It is okay to be bold about it. Because if you can be bold before God, you can be bold before man. This is your time to be bold. Amen. Amen. So today or this week, I don't want you to ever hide who you are. You know where that began? That began in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve hid themselves Because they were afraid. They were afraid. The true value that God placed inside of them, all of a sudden they forgot about it. And they were afraid. When you lose sight of who God made you to be, you become afraid. Fear has no place in your life. What is the remedy? What is the solution? Get acquainted with who God made you to be. Start with Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6. Look at that verse, verse 6, that declares that you've been highly accepted. Let that word seep into your DNA and allow yourself to live with the consciousness that you've been highly accepted or highly favored by God in the beloved. Can you believe? Can you say amen to that? If you live with that consciousness, you will be a bold person. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked, they flee when no one is pursuing. They're paranoid. Oh, no more paranoia in the name of the Lord. You ever think that someone is thinking something about you and then you realize they weren't thinking of that at all? You ever have an impression of someone and then later on you realize, man, that impression was so off? Is it possible that you're in your own mind about how people are thinking about you, and it's because Satan wants you to get into your own mind and get you out of thinking of who God created you to be? I'm telling you, that's the thing that will cause you to hide yourself. You will hide yourself because you're thinking about how people are perceiving you. That ends today in the name of the Lord. No more. No more. I want you to be settled with who God has called you to be. God has made you accepted in the beloved. I'm going to have fun next week. I'm going to really share some things with you about what God has made you to be. But I just feel to stay here. You are accepted. Somebody say, I've been accepted. I've been accepted. Amen. Listen, men, let me talk to some of the guys here that are single. You're concerned about, you know, finding the right person. And, you know, you don't want to get rejected or you don't want to get hurt, right? I want you to let this scripture meditate on you. I want you to meditate on this scripture. Wait a minute. I've been accepted by God. If God finds me acceptable, certainly he will lead me to the person that will also accept me. That's how I reason. I reason with my relationship with the Lord and how it should translate into my relationship with other people. If God has found me acceptable, then he will position me in such a way to be accepted. This is what you need to start saying to yourself. I'm accepted. You're looking for a job. It's frustrating. Lord, you've made me acceptable in your sight. Cause me to see where the opportunities are that will favor me just as you favored me. I'm accepted. I'm not rejected. What will happen? You'll walk into that interview bold. Let me tell you right now, what happens in this interview will not define my destiny. What if you came in with that posture? It won't define my destiny. What happens here will not determine my value. What you say, what you don't say will not change my life. I'm here to bless you. You're not here to bless me. Oh, that sounds arrogant. It's not. It's knowing who you are. Let me tell you something. Joseph in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Potiphar said, I know that I'm blessed because of you. I know this. Like, everything is working. Before, my house was being torn up. This was breaking down. I know they didn't have boilers, but let's say they had boilers. My boiler was broken down. The pipes burst. Everything. But since you got here, Joseph, everything seems to be working. Everything is smooth. That will be your testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ever since you arrived. Oh, you got. I need to talk to somebody who believes this. Ever since you arrived, this company started escalating in its profits. Amen. I want you to have that confidence because I'm accepted in the beloved. There's favor on my life. I come with something tangible. When I came here, I didn't come by myself. I came with the presence of the Lord. I came with the favor of God. I matter in this place. Oh my God, that's hard for some of you guys, but I want you to really catch this because this is the spirit of Christ. This is how Jesus walked in. Jesus, the Bible says, he walked into the temple and said, this day, what I just read is fulfilled in your ears. And what did he read? He said, I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm anointed to set the captives free. I'm anointed to proclaim liberty to those who are bound, to give sight to the blind. He says, this day, all these things that I read has been fulfilled in your ears. And guess what? They all looked at Jesus like, who the heck do you think you are? Guess what? It didn't faze him. He said, yeah, that's who I am. This is the spirit of Christ. He wants you to start walking in your boldness. So I just want to leave you with this. I want you to know that you're highly accepted in his sight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say, I'm accepted. I'm not rejected. Yes. If you know this, give me a second, guys. Let me just say this. I don't want to put these people to sleep here. All this nice, you know. I like what you're playing, though. If you know this, you will allow your personality to shine. I don't know why the Lord keeps bringing this. All this week, he kept bringing this point. Tell my people, I want their personality to shine. If you're loud, be loud. How many know loud people? Now, I'm going to say it this way. Let your God-given personality shine. Not your ratchet personality. Okay? Your God-given personality. The thing that's in you that you know is of the Lord. Some of you are shy and you shouldn't be. And you can feel a scream on the outside, on the inside. Let me out. Let your God-given personality shine. It's time. Some of you, let me tell you something. Even in the expression of your faith in Jesus Christ, let it shine. You're called to minister in a certain way. Don't let other people's failure to acknowledge what God has placed in you keep you in the closet. No. It's time for you to shine. In the name of the Lord Jesus, your personality, let your personality shine. It's Jesus I'm talking about. This is Jesus here. This is not just some psychoanalyst, pep talk, motivational speech. No, this is Jesus. Oftentimes they try to quiet him. They try to tell him, you can't do that. You can't say that. Who are you? And Jesus boldly replied who he was according to the scripture. He let his personality out. He didn't let people quiet him down. He didn't let people say that you can go this far, but no more. No, he lived boldly. In the name of the Lord Jesus, this is your time to live boldly. Knowing if I can have boldness in the day of judgment, who are you to keep my mouth shut? Who are you for me to be so overly concerned that I'm going to make you uncomfortable? It's time to make people uncomfortable. It's time to be you and let people be free to be themselves. Because a lot of times, let me tell you something, a lot of times people are waiting for you to be free in order for them to feel permission to be free themselves. I want you to let your personality out in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I want you to monitor this. When certain people walk in the room, how does your demeanor change? Let me tell you, your demeanor should not change. You should be who you are. Now, if you want to be excited because they're here, that's fine. But if you feel, I got to quiet down, I have to be different, I can't let them see this, that means you're operating in the fear of man. That ends today. I want you to monitor that. If you get nervous when something happens or someone's around, all of a sudden you change your demeanor, you change the way you talk, you're not expressing yourself the way you normally feel you should express yourself. That ends today. Why? It comes with the spirit of fear that wants to trap you and keep you. And it has so many implications that will hinder your walk with the Lord. So your personality will shine in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? I remember, I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, The first sport that I loved was baseball. And I didn't share that a lot because every time I talked about baseball, people would look at me like, man, black people don't play baseball. Like, that don't make, why are you into baseball? And I love baseball. I mean, I was an unusual kid. I was at 8 years old. I could watch a full baseball game on TV. My goodness, that's bad. I had a social life, believe it or not, believe it. But I could watch a full baseball game at 8 years old. I used to love baseball, but I used to find myself not admitting certain things that I liked. Not admitting certain things that I was into. Not admitting certain things that I enjoyed because I felt people couldn't connect to certain things. That's just one small example. And as I matured in faith, I realized that's the spirit of fear. And it's a fear of man. And it's not of God. And so as I've been liberated, I'm speaking liberty over your own life in the name of Jesus. You will no longer be afraid in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been made bold. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I've been made highly favored in the name of the Lord Jesus. I will not be afraid anymore in Jesus' name. Now let me say, I want to plug your devotional. Praise the Lord. So let's release a devotional call. Fear can kick rocks. Amen. Praise God. I want you to share a little bit about what your devotion is about and let people know where they can get it.
Hello, Dad. Yes, so as Pastor said, it is entitled Fear Can Kick Rocks, and it is a 7-day devotional about overcoming fear. And it basically tackles how you can overcome any type of fear, just fear in general. But within the devotional, we go through 7 specific fears that I believe that a lot of people can relate to. I won't go down all of them, but some of them we actually touched on here. The fear of disapproval from family and friends, fear of a reoccurring hurts happening again, fear of the valley, that season of the valley that we all go through, because that's what life is about, ups and down, and how to overcome that. Fear of being an imposter in your own life, so imposter syndrome. I feel like I'm going through all of them, but I'll stop here. But it's pretty much about facing fear and kicking fears behind. Oh. I like to say, if you're a gangster like me, it's fear can kick rocks barefoot, okay? yes. And you can it's a, thank you guys. Oh, that's it, yes. you can receive it on my website. It's lessiesworld.com. Lessiesworld.com, and just hit the shop button and then you'll see Fear Can Kick Rocks. You can click that and it's all yours.
That's all. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. We love to highlight that. Celeste shared with me this week that when we were praying about embracing, remember the month of, we're in July now. Good Lord. So in the month of June, one of our prayer points was that whatever the Lord is presenting before you, that you would embrace that challenge, that you would not shrink away. And share with me that while we were praying that one of those weeks, the Lord told her, this is the month that you are to release this devotional. And she did it, and it's being a blessing to people. Amen? That's the importance of living boldly, because it's not just about you, it's about people that you will bless. So definitely pick up that devotional. Oh, Father, we bless you. Everybody bow your head. Let me just lead you into a prayer. If you do not know the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity as we close to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So I want to ask you a question. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Not if you've been to church, not if you believe God, not if you prayed. I'm not asking any of that. I'm simply asking you, have you made a decision for Jesus? Have you repented of your sin and said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life? Now is your time to do that. It's simple. You simply ask him to come into your life. So I'm going to lead you into what we call a salvation prayer. Pray this with me if you want Jesus in your life. Say this. Say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner needing a Savior, and I'm asking you to receive me as your child. Jesus, you died for me. You died for my sin, and you rose the third day. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. be the Lord of my life, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the very first time, the Bible declares that you were saved, you are changed, something different has happened inside of you. We welcome you to the faith. We welcome you to the family of God. Do us one favor, one last favor. If you need a connection card, if you don't already have one, if you've made that decision, let us know. There's a place where you can indicate, I've accepted Christ for the first time. Please check that box. I want to send you some information on how you can grow in this faith, how you can grow as a new believer in the name of the Lord Jesus. So please do us that favor. If you need some time, feel free to take time. But after service, you can leave it at the back table for us. And we want to just welcome you into the family of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for an awesome time.